reuniting all beings with their purity. In this way, I do most deeply train myself. The repetition of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the rituals, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi, Saranam, Gacchami, Dutiyampi, Tatiyampi, Saha. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. Dharma, Saranam, Gacchami, Dutiyampi, Tatiyampi, Saha. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. Sangam, Saranam, Gacchami, Dutiyampi, Tatiyampi, Saha. I turn to the holy order for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha Samudaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, Yamini Patipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient, anicca. All formations are subject to suffering. All things are without a self. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo Prajna Paramita Hiridaya. Homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this whole today. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors. Monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By compassionate comprehension that dissipates delusion, by compassionate aspiration that harms no one, by compassionate speech that makes for clarity, by compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret, by compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit, by compassionate endeavor that results in goodness, by compassionate mindfulness that proves this path, by compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these precepts. The precept of restraint and religious observance. The precept of obedience to all good laws. The precept to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow concentrating myself. With this reputation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 great prohibitive precepts. Not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so. Not to take that which is not given. Not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct. Not to tell lies nor practice believing the fantasies of authority. Not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so. Not to publish other people's thoughts. Not to extol oneself and slander others. Not to be avaricious and bestow of the teachings. Not to be angry. Not to seek ill of this religion or any other. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself in the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of ever expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, in the practice of inquiry through correct sound. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Oh, happy blessed day. Oh, happy blessed place. Oh, happy blessed time. Oh, happy blessed path. Oh, happy blessed opportunity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to show myself. Here, in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect vow, I deeply vow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am born of karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma, and I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Sutiyampi, Tatiyampi, Sattvam. Again and yet again, may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. For even to awaken from deep sleep and face the new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity. And the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self in other. Add the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness. So it's due to all consciousness. Thank you. is ending suffering, it's not more than anything. We will not end suffering. If I'm suffering, it is because I'm choosing something over ending suffering. We are not here to create and cling to beliefs. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer so we can drop that and end suffering.
Retreats are cool.
Retreats are cool. Yes. Yes. Someone who has been on actually a couple of retreats during this time period. That there is nothing wrong with you right now and a visiting month retreat.
Yeah. And there's such an amazing cyclicalness to it, I'm seeing. It's actually these exact dates. 3rd to 10th, that I did my first there, that I did my There's Nothing Wrong With You retreat 6 years ago. And it was when they were building this pavilion.
I was just seeing that, yeah, the cyclical nature of things. Yeah.
And there's a roof. And I just remember having group in here, and I don't know, there's a lot of, there's a lot of joy in feeling that giving, receiving.
Just that joy of that giving, receiving, and experience of being on retreat. And yeah, just to see, I mean, the 6 years have passed, and to find yourself sitting here in this very same spot that you sat 6 years ago. It was a work in progress at the time.
And still a work in progress.
And now you're sitting here as a visiting monk.
And I'm so grateful just for the willingness to keep just recording, and it was like keep putting myself in the way of practice. Like to just keep showing up and keep doing the thing that my heart is pulling me to do. I feel really tender about that. Super grateful.
So your hand is on your heart, and it is so, so tender for the practitioner, which is a tremendous willingness, I would say. You know, to just continue following your heart, and just to go in the direction that it keeps urging her to go.
Yeah. And the practice now, it's so fascinating. There's people like everywhere. and what I'm seeing about that is having more people and kind of more tasks. It's more opportunities to kind of bump into things. Mm-hmm. And what's wonderful is that at this moment in time, there's a lot of openness to receiving that bumping, like, and just to receive it as a reminder to come back to this here now. Like, just, okay, right here. And that's been really amazing, and I can see it kind of pulling me deeper into practice.
As you say that, I wonder, would you say that what you're saying is not my will, but thy will? That you're seeing this willingness to just accept the bumping into it, and
yeah.
And so deeper into practice.
What, I can't remember if it was on the morning radio show, but there was a conversation about Gandhi using every experience as a teacher, and I feel like I get a little inkling of what that was referring to, because I remember at the time hearing that, I was like, what could that mean? And just like, I don't know, I said it the other day, but like there's, I get guidance or something happens, I'm like, that needs to be attended to. And it's like, I just bounce to it. I just kind of go with it. But yeah, seeing that as the will of the divine is
so going back to that willingness, you know, just that tremendous willingness to practice. Give note, you know, it's an opportunity to bounce too. I love that. You know, just bounce too, and like, you know, there's something to look at, and yes, and just, it sounds like you've been holding that as a koan for a while, that Gandhi, what Gandhi is pointing to, that everything, every experience would be.
Yeah. Well, and it just dropped in that that's what saying yes to life might look like. So maybe I'll play with that one.
Come on, and hold. It just dropped in that that might be what it looks like saying. What that might be what saying yes to life looks like.
Yeah. Being a yes sayer.
A yes
sayer. Yeah.
Yeah.
And seeing the, there's been like this feeling that there's so much clarity, is that when the conditioning comes up, it's like all of a sudden I'm looking through a mirage or like a funhouse mirror at life, and I'm like, whoa, that's not where we want to go. Like, and it's I noticed that renaming the judge has been kind of helpful, and I've been referring to it as the wrong finder, because that's all it does, is it finds what's wrong, and
just having a lot of fun, and what great fun to be like, I think of it like in a fun house, and you know, but at conditioning expense, you know, to just really have so much clarity that like when conditioning goes up its distortion, which it does continually, but there is someone present to see. something's not right here, you know, yeah. It's gone out of focus, and there's some kind of distortion happening, and to be present with that.
Okay. That's really helpful. I appreciate that, that reminder about being a yes sayer. So, it's kind of a grim world right now.
Different world.
Yeah, and, you know, there's a when I watch conditioning do this morning is say, so I'm actually going to go down and look at a wall, really? You know, that's my sort of response to the world. And the answer was, well, yes, actually.
And referring to meditation. Yes, yes. Okay. Yeah, I just wanted to walk from place to, yeah.
And so I arrive here with a lot of feelings I do not know what to do with. And I project that right now that's a lot of what's going on. The people have a lot of feelings they don't know what to do with, and so they act them out however. Seems to be a way that will review them.
Mm-hmm.
And without a practice, it can be so destructive to oneself and others as well.
What a good point, you know, to be aware of things going on that seem destructive and see that without a practice, I mean, people can go to that place of trying to do anything to soothe those feelings that arise in the face of what might be perceived as destructive.
Right.
And then there is the willingness to actually just sit with this feeling, facing a blank wall, and just see what a kindness that is.
Well, you like to sit with I don't know.
And
you
know, sit with I don't know.
I don't know what to do. I want to do something.
Uh-huh.
I don't know what to do. And truly, I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
And so it's just interesting to, you know, it's so important to just show up because the resistance was don't show up, it will do me good.
Mm-hmm.
And then one shows up, I showed up. And I see the impact of practice, I experience the impact of practice, and what a relief it is, and what a refuge it is.
Mm-hmm.
And not that it provides answers, actually, but just that it provides a place to be. With whatever. And the questions of what to do remain. But sometimes all there is to say yes to is saying yes. Without any content. Just saying yes.
Without any content, just say yes.
Yeah.
You know, and here was the situation and not knowing what to do and showing up at group, and the first thing we hear about is yes,
right.
Just saying yes, and what a support that was in the situation.
That conversation shone the light on a workshop that I'm having, which is around dairy.
Mm-hmm.
And so years ago, I was here at the monastery, and I heard from far off in the distance these horrible cries from what sounded like cows. And I asked in group one time, do we live near a water house or anything? Jerry said, no, but we live there. That's the sound of like babies being taken away from their mothers for dairy purposes. And that has stayed with me. I have eaten dairy my whole life and have not stopped. But lately there's been a growing something about dairy. And that story has come follow me through these 20 whatever years to just recently. And so it's been a real workshop because I'm watching where I went with that previous conversation was there's so many well-worn paths that karma could go in where, okay, let's do a no dairy campaign and then it all comes in plastic. So then I get visions of the big plastic mountain in the ocean or whatever, you know, that is. So it's like, then it goes to, okay, now let's go to no plastic. It's like kind of that activist approach. And I know that's not it. And what I mean by it's not it is I believe that with everything is unfolding for my awakening. That's what everything is unfolding for. So that includes this workshop. So I'll stop there.
So living in everything is unfolding for my awakening. So just live in that place. And, you know, no matter what the content, actually right now there's a particular content that's showing up, and you see that, you know, just that draw to, well, first of all, looking at it, it's interesting that it's kind of like been a thread for over 20 years. And that, so just watching the inclination about wanting to go to the activist approach, like, you know, we got to do that, and we got to change the situation.
Yes, and what I saw in that reflection was that the year-long that's on food, mm-hmm. you know, the duality that is set up, I think that was yesterday's assignment, is we got to change them, the world, or we got to change me, just me, but something's got to change, you know, either them or me. I can't just sit with this discomfort. I can't just sit with it. I know what's happening. I can't just continue to drink milk and all those cow's milk and all that stuff. And so I kind of flip back and forth between we've got to do something. That means really y'all all have to do something different because I'm feeling terribly uncomfortable that you're all eating dairy. And, or, well, I just got to abstain totally from dairy and there. At least I'll feel better about what I'm doing. And that does have a dualistic feel.
Either, you know, either you guys got to clean up your act or I got to clean up my act, you know, and it keeps bouncing back and forth between the two. With, you know, dissatisfaction
and suffering
as the result of all of it.
So it was that previous conversation was just really helpful in that, well, you're just going to sit in front of the wall? Well, yeah, I think that's what it's called for at this point because, well, I actually did have something drop in first thing early this morning. I think there are stores where you can buy stuff just in barrels so you don't use all this packaging. And I thought, I want to invest in those or give them, so it's like things may drop in that may be ways to really contribute, but I'm pretty sure it won't come from that place of there's just something wrong. We got to stop hurting these animals, you know, whatever, from that place.
I don't know if this is dropping in right now. I don't know if this feels like it has anything to do with it, but recently in the group, we were just talking about just loving the human step by step.
Yeah.
And it just feels like maybe that, it just feels appropriate in this situation.
Yeah.
That what does, in this, what is this step, and what is love here, and what is love here?
That is so perfect. That is so perfect because what I just saw, thank you for that, in that duality, and it's really the conscious compassionate action blog that Sherry wrote a year or so ago, that what's underneath all that angst is a deep caring and a person who just can get overlooked.
Right.
Totally.
Really.
From the caring.
It just hurts one's heart to know that kind of deep caring and love can get yanked. It's going back to the, you know, that distorted mirror, how it gets just messed with and becomes just, how can that be turned into something for a continual phase of suffering?
Exactly. And so just the last thing sort of as a handle to is that all of that conversation, as I've noticed it throughout this, we've been using this topic as a year long, when I sit down to it's not necessarily an unpleasant conversation, but it's conversation. I wonder what's going on. You know, just whatever, fill in the, you know, it's just whatever, and it just keeps an eye in existence. And so what you're saying that or what you're reminding me about that deep hearing is just to recognize that for what it is, that it's not, no matter what it's saying, it's not anything. Anything real doesn't come like that. It
doesn't come like a conversation in a whole spreadsheet about how we're going to, like, change the situation with them or, you know. And to just come back to,
But if there is anything to be done, it will it will feel different.
It will.
And be brought about differently
in my experience. In your experience, it'll just be brought about differently than having a conversation.
I was here a year ago, and when I came out, a very dear, very, very good friend of mine was diagnosed with really advanced lung cancer. And a year has passed, and she just had her scan, and she's clear for now. It'll take about 4 or 5 years for them to think that she's, like, really clear. I don't really know how that works, but that happened. And what I was looking at was, well, the same day that we got the great news about her, we got hard news about our dog, who has cancer, and has about 3 months of stable. And what I was looking at was, in that year, in that year, I made 0 recordings about my friend, and you'll never meet her story, and there she is, but never made a recording about her, never talked to anybody about her, never called the radio show about her, never mentioned her on a buddy call. I mean, how is that possible? But how is it possible that in an entire year of practicing, or what I thought was practicing, went by, and it was like completely off limits. You know, I talked about other stuff, you know, whatever, exercising, stuff at work, you know, all that kind of stuff. But I never talked about it. I never looked at it. And this morning I was in the kitchen, and I think it was the first time that I was really exhaled, you know, and I was like, oh my God, you know, how did I not talk about her for an entire year? And then I started thinking about the fact that she's not out of the woods yet. And then I started thinking about the fact that, you know, we have a little doggy who's going to go through what he's going through. And I don't want to do that again. In fact, I don't want to do it at all. I've gotten it that I'm at a point in my life where I will forever now be knowing people who are getting sick and dying and whatnot. You know, I'm not a kid anymore. And I was like, I don't want to do that. I don't want to not look at things. And I don't want to be coerced or bamboozled or whatever you want to say into not looking at things.
So you don't want to be bamboozled into not looking at things that are deeply, that, you know, just deeply important to you, and that you notice that something that means so much to you, a friend that just was so dear, somehow it, you know, you were bamboozled into not even looking at that, but not bringing it into practice, not talking about it for the whole year. And there's this commitment now, as your dog is ill, that not to do the same thing. And even your friend, who is not out of the woods yet, and this morning, just starting out by taking the first step of just mentioning what's going on.
Right. Yeah, I mean, you know, it's really amazing how conditioning works. I mean, it's like, oh my God, you know, I don't know. What else there is to say about it. Yeah, I guess except just that, you know, I think there's a lot to be in that, as far as, like, you know, no, I don't need to beat myself up that way because I'm not going to help anybody, but I'm not what I want to do while I'm here. But I feel like there's a lot to see in how that happened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just one of those shocking points when the death happened that I was so taken away from the ability to be able to speak about something so important to me. It's pretty sobering to see how it just how we can be manipulated in that way.
Before I came here, you know, we got the news, and my husband has to do some treatment stuff this week without me. And I'm a very big caretaker kind of person, so I was very worried if he would be okay, or you know, our dog would be okay. And, you know, and he was great. And he was like, no, you know, you should go. I think it would be the best thing for you, and the best thing for me, and the best thing for our dog, you know. And he's absolutely right, you know, because nothing's really going to happen this week. I mean, you know, fresh fingers, but I don't know, I guess I felt really grateful that, like, the practice is available when I wake up, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. You know, just happen to have this, you know, coincided, you know, by the universe design or whatever, but that whatever it would have been, that even if I'm away, not physically, you know, like, if I wander away, you know, like, I can come back, you know what I mean? Like, it's not hard, like, I'm here again, right? Or I'm here again, not necessarily physically, even, like, I'm here again with practice again. And that can happen anytime I want.
Yeah.
There's no, oh, well, you didn't do that, now you can't practice anymore.
You gotta make up, you know.
Right. Yeah. It's like, I think Sherry or people talk about it that quick, like, you know, you're in heaven and you're in hell, you're in the dark room, you're in the light room, you know, I feel very grateful that there's a switch that can turn, and practice supports that.
Yeah, that we can start, I mean, moment by moment, and begin again, and just to see how that supports our practice. And I'm just struck too with, I mean, so much of like what we were talking about this morning and facing the blank wall, you know, in a situation that feels disastrous, not really knowing what to do, seeing a lot about it, and then metaphorically, you know, this entire week choosing to sit and face the blank wall, you know, to just be.
And you know, something you just said about not knowing what to do with it, I think that's such a big part of it, because I think, you know, conditioning, because there's nothing to do, right? There's nothing we can do for him. I mean, like, the blow her, right? And there's nothing I can do for her. Oh, God, he's old, and, you know, I knew this was going to happen. So, but I think what's interesting is conditioning, you want to look at, like, just loving them. You know, it's almost like, or conditioning it, like, I do have to solve everyone's problems, right?
Right.
So don't look, because you can't, which is stupid, you know, because then I miss out on whatever's happening for me, and being really open-hearted and available for what's happening for them, you know?
Yeah, so true, and that was, probably going on with it, don't talk about it in any of the calls or practices, you know, don't be in the love that's there. And it's such a good point that would have you love focus on doing something that has absolutely no outcome. I mean, you know, but it's going to be a source of dissatisfaction, that doing and doing and doing cannot be able to affect the situation that you can't affect.
Yeah. And even like and recording that I put my earbuds in this morning, and it went back to a retreat from like a year or 2 years ago. Like, I just didn't know how organized. and what came up was Sherry saying something about like the mentor doesn't tend to come up with solutions. The mentor is about process and about saying loving things, you know. And I think that's really true. I think yeah, this is the problem where there's not really a solution. And then there's just this opportunity to love.
So my Art University created the card this week is equanimity. And it's hard right now in the world with what's going on. And I suppose it could be true any time you're just paying really close attention to the whole world.
Yeah.
But when it's kind of at your doorstep, so to speak, it really brings it into focus. And I don't have any deep and profound to say about equanimity. It takes a broader perspective. It takes being really honest. It seems to me. And what I'm looking at with that is it seems that a lot of the violence that goes on is perpetrated by young males. We can only guess are deeply distressed.
Sort of going back to like it's the doing. I got to do something in response to you know what's going on, but in response to what you project at the stress and how that comes out of the violence.
And you know, I had to own it when I was a young female. I had some violent tendencies. I never turned it against other people in the sense of physical harm. But I didn't harm to things. I was pretty sneaky about it, but I did. It makes me kind of smile now. Probably shouldn't. Should have done. But I remember energy, feelings that I just couldn't handle. I had to do something.
Yeah.
And if that remembering that helps get to some kind of equanimity, okay. But we've all heard it is one about there are people starving all over the world, and that's their karma. If you don't do anything about it, that's your karma. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how true that is. I don't know nothing.
yeah.
And so far, it hasn't been my karma to be much of an activist about this or that. It has been to support those who are more active with money or signing petitions or whatever. And that helps, right? In the grand scheme of things, I don't know if I could ever know if it does. Or if there's truly nothing wrong and nothing needs to be happening, that the way this condition I'm used human existence is really skewed.
Yeah.
And I guess that's true for everyone. And basically it comes down to the world is not as nice a place as I think it is.
Yeah, it comes down to that. You know, I don't know, but no place, and we just don't know. I mean, we're seeing through, I mean, I think this is what you're saying, you're seeing through a particular lens. I mean, and who knows if anybody else sees it that way. And as you pointed to it in the beginning with equanimity, you know, it seems hard to get to equanimity, and yet, with what's going on, and that you have this awareness that stuff like that is going on, has been going on away from you, when then it would be much easier to get to that place of equanimity. And now that it's on your, I think you said your doorstep, yeah, it's that the equanimity seems more distant.
Yeah. Well.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. And there is that acknowledgement that what you project to be going on, that you know that place.
I know. I project. I know a similar place.
Some similar place.
Where the voices in the head and the feelings in the body are just so intense and seems so personal that I'm just driven to do something that I need them to release that into me. And
because there, because I protect the same voice as talking to them, what? It still is this? Are you crazy? I mean, only amped. You know, this calls for action. So if there are no mistakes, June pulls the card of equanimity to sit with during this time.
I'm going to do it. I'm going to keep doing what I can do to make it make what seemed to me to be a kind of universe. It might be a kind of universe. I bet even my kind of universe view is kind of the opposite of somebody else's.
Yeah.
But and I'm just going to do it. And it is what it is.
Yeah. It's going back to listening. I mean, I can also say it, but listening to that heart. And what the heart says is kinder. And to have the courage to do that. It may not be what anybody else would, but their heart might dictate as kind or what, you know.
I can reject that these young males who do these in my mind for different things are trying to make the world better.
Yeah.
In their view, they're doing something to make things better. In my view, I'm doing things to make things better. You know, all this that I'm doing, that's choking me up, is I'm trying not to hate them.
Yeah.
And they're enablers. I'm trying not to hate their enablers. That's really what I'm saying.
That they're enablers?
I'm trying not to hate the people who are enabling and,
yeah,
and seems to me,
yeah,
enabling them and letting
them. Yeah. I'm just taking back to the lecture about the process of hate and how to, you know, attempt to not to just extract the process of hate from that life, from that being. I mean, that being is in a process of hate. Can we all, how can we stand in together and eliminate that process of hate?
I can just feel that emotion come up, you know, how can we not join in that process of hate? And then I hear is, and how can we, as was being said earlier, I mean, as far as I can tell, everything is an opportunity for love. So how can we, and that's what I heard in that last share as well, you know, because there is that choice. You can, I mean, I can feel myself in those places of looking at somebody, how could you be doing that? Or, you know, and I can feel the resistance in me wanting to, like, clamp down or stop them or call them names or, you know, and then I call you that for so long and then I'm a bad person for doing that, you know, and all of that is hatred.
Hatred.
It's all clamping down and harming life. And it's like I look at my spiritual heroes, and it's like, what were they able to do? They were able to recognize that, and they were able to step out of that. And they had regular practices to do that, and they had, for like a lot of courage and willingness to do that in some crazy circumstances.
Crazy circumstances. I mean, yeah. I don't know, see if this is accurate. I mean, it's like as you were describing that, it just brought to mind, what is it in us that we haven't accepted that when we see that hatred and we see that we're clamping down so hard, like, no, you know, what is it that...
Yeah, that's unacceptable.
That's unacceptable.
Yeah,
that we just have to push down so hard.
Yeah.
Where we project our spiritual heroes, maybe, confronted those details within themselves.
Yeah. Confronted those places of unacceptability. Mm-hmm. And I project, at least my own experiences, confronting it by what I would say bringing it into awareness.
Mm-hmm.
Bring it into conscious compassion and awareness, because as far as I can tell, that's the only reason we talk about what conditioning is doing, is to see how it's operating. Because as soon as we, from our perspective, how we do it, we see how it's operating, it dissolves, it undoes itself. It can't exist in awareness, in love, it can't.
Yes.
And so, you know, when that hate, I mean, just, but I'm not privy to the papers a lot, but as every time I go out and every time I talk to a family member who's bringing something up, there's just such a division. And it's each side, you know, I associate with a particular party, but if you step back, the process actually looks the same. It's hard to tell which one's which when it's no. I mean, the response is no. No.
Boy, we're going back to being a yes.
Yeah.
And a yes.
Yeah. Exactly. And for me, it's interesting. I was answering this question about what am I doing? Why am I here? And I answered it a couple of times. And one of the things that kept coming up is this process that we're talking about, as far as I can tell, is almost, it's clearly not impossible, because at least the Buddha seemed to have done it, but it seems almost impossible to do it on your own.
Mm-hmm.
To essentially what we're talking about is to disidentify and, you know, remove ourselves from the identification. And it's so hard because it feels like me. I don't even know I'm identified when I'm identified.
Yeah.
And so the doing it together got such a boon. Our last group, sorry for folks at home, it wasn't recorded, but someone was talking about walking around a lake that they've been doing for decades. And there's a part of walking around that's private property. Apparently it's always been private property, but at one point in time, recently, the private property got like
private.
It got private. You can't do that anymore.
Yeah.
And you know, the person was talking about seeing that response of like, what do you mean? I've been doing this for decades. You know, and just like, I can't believe it, kind of thing. And it was so helpful in all kinds of ways, you know, like to look at folks who look like me, white men, who react so strongly to people of color and women asking to be treated decently. You know, and so, well, what is that? Well, you're asking me to give something up. I have a bunch of privileges that I usually am not aware of, and essentially you're asking me to give that up. So it's like, you're asking me to give up being able to walk around the lake? What do you mean I've been doing? You're asking me to change and let go of things? What do you mean? This is who I am. This is my position in society. This is how I've always interacted. This is my country. This is... And so it kind of brought it... So anyway, there was a lot of compassion that, like, wow, you know, instead of what's wrong with those people, it's like, well, everyone's in a process of essentially, as far as I can tell, my projection is being asked to let go. And the ego, in my experience, resists that crazy because it's the end of it. So when I come back to that place, I also have a lot of compassion for Scott because, you know, the constant conversation is basically, come on, man. I mean, you have everything to wake up and end suffering, yet you're choosing da-da-da-da-da. And it's like, forever. And it has worked at one point. It saved his life, essentially, at one point. And it's like, it's hard to let go because that's who I think I am. So you're asking not to just give up a like, stop eating this, or, you know, don't be in a conversation about that. You're asking me to let go of what I think of my life.
You're asking me to let go of me.
Yeah, which I look at as a life and death kind of thing.
Exactly, ego does. I mean, it feels completely life and death, and it's so easy to understand how someone who doesn't know anything about awareness practice or habit practice, have any inkling that they might not be separate from all that is. I mean, it's going to fight life.
Yep, and we know how that works. It's like, so you get identified, I got to fight, and then all the information just gets skewed to support that perspective. Yeah. I mean, how else do you explain somebody picking up a gun and shooting? I mean, it's got to, the information just got to be massively distorted. But that same, I project some kind of a survival kind of thing. You know, that's
an
the place.
Survival kind
yeah,
of thing.
Yeah, it abducts the human and makes them believe.
Abducts the human. And that is, I mean, I project, but that is the saddest part of all. That folks are abducted without the awareness of being abducted, and they're so cut off from what their heart is saying. As you said, there's just no choice but to fight ego fighting for its life.
Yeah. So again, we turn to Gandhi, and Nelson Mandela, who. And also that resists evil. And I love, like, I'm reading about Martin Luther King now, and it's just like he talks about these places where these awful things are happening to him and his family and his people. And it's like he can feel that on his body. And he turns to prayer. Mm-hmm. He seeks God.
Right.
You know, and then he's back in that open space, that love. And there's an example about the Montgomery bus boycott where they're trying to say the segregation of these buses for blacks and whites is awful, essentially. And it's definitely not, it's separate, it's definitely not equal. And so they go through this whole process, but there's this place where it eventually goes to the Supreme Court and they say it's not constitutional. So now they're going to get on the bus, and how's this going to be? And this one white guy, older white guy, just stands right up by the bus driver, and there's all these seats he can sit down. He's just like, you know, I'd rather die than sit behind a, you know, native or person of color. And it's like, you know, you look at that on one level, it's like, sit down. But then you get it. Like, his identity is that position in the world. So ego is like that. I'd rather kill off this human than give myself up over to life. So from that perspective, you go to that guy and go, what a jerk. And it's like, we all know where that place is.
Right. We all know what the jerk is.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
The identification with ego, which seems to be the human condition.
Yeah.
So it's just like, you know, doing it in that place about doing it together keeps me in that broader perspective. it involved, I could feel the courage and project the inspiration from others. It's like, because the worst suffering is when I feel like I'm on my own. Mm-hmm. You know, but you get in a group like this, and it's like, oh, there's not, we are in this together, and I happen to be one of the luckiest people that you can put after this awareness. And in that way, it starts to feel like, you know, all this awful stuff, there's been awful stuff forever, you know, in history. It's like, but we're in this position. We're in a position of an opportunity of love, and we know how to practice that together.
Together. Yeah. I think that's what you started out with in the beginning. I mean, together, it's just like this amazing opportunity and to be here this morning with Tonga and to have that support to choose love, not ego.
So helpful. I was going to tell people this morning. I mean, I know I was so helpful to see because I was, I do something before I come here. I go to church. Uh-huh. And it goes this way, and then I have half an hour to get here, and I just take the road, and I can drive slow. And I'm sitting there, and the guy is talking. And talking, you know, priest. Oh, Lord. And then it's like, okay, should I get up and scream at him? You know, stop it! You know, I gotta go. To monastery. You know, it's the thing of if I had a gun, kill them all, and then I come to the monastery. You know, that's just
that was your orientation.
Yes, that was my orientation. And then, you know, I thought to myself, I have a practice. I know how to sit on the cushion and think I can't stand it till the bell rings. And I just got to see all the stories that were going on about right and wrong and him going on and what I could do about it and what I couldn't do about it and the flow of the morning, you know, to create peace in this person who's so distraught is now being, you know, disrupted and this isn't right. And then what if this is just it? What if this is it? You know, like in there, this is it? You know, what if this is it? What if this is my best opportunity to wake up and then suffering?
What if this is it?
I tell you, all of a sudden I was grateful for the really old priest who's retired, who's taking over for somebody who's ill. I'd be grateful. I could shoot up a little prayer, you know, and thanks for what he was saying. I could smell the smells, which I actually really enjoy in the church, and look out the stained glass windows. I could know that the monastery, that I'm going to be late, and that it's best to just drive slowly, and I could talk to my daughter along the way. And then I could do a few things in the house before, and she said, aren't you going? Yes, I'm going. And then I could do it, you know, and then I could get here and sit. And, you know, that I was just thinking about, not everybody knows how to do that. You know, and it does seem ridiculous. I mean, there was this, now I have 1,000 things to do, why not just sit home and do them? I mean, it's kind of that, why go down and face a blank wall? I don't even get to meditate. You know, that it starts calling, you know, the torture starts about, but as people were talking, it's just so helpful to know that I know different. Because before, the duality would always be created. Me and them, and right and wrong, and good and bad, and how I can change them. And then, of course, it gets turned inside, because, you know, I did have a little slip before church this morning, where I was yelling at everybody. And, you know, I thought when someone was talking, maybe it was the last share, or what everybody was saying, that I have a different choice, which is bringing that kindness. And then I remembered that story about the people in Africa that I think Jen tells a lot, where if you get caught stealing something in some tribe, where, you know, you do something terrible, and then what they do is they sit you in the middle of the circle, this is how I heard, and the whole tribal community goes around saying everything that they really like about you. And I thought, what if we did that to the people who are doing these bad things in our society? And more importantly, what if I do that inside? What if that person who was yelling at everybody and doing the equivalent of, you know, massacring the family of my own identification, what if I, on my way home today, made a recording and just told her how much I really like her? and what a good mom she is, and, you know, just all those things. And thanks so much for coming, and I'm going to be right here for you, and I like this that you do, and I like that that you do. The alternative is to listen to the other story about what I did wrong and how I got to apologize, and how I did apologize, but they wouldn't take the apology. You know, how now they're bad and I'm bad, and we're all, you know, spinning out of control. So,
just continually telling her,
"Johnny,
you're doing."
I know, you know, and the things I like about her.
The things you like about her and what she's doing, and as you said, I mean, I suspect that we'd be much more prone to do that with others.
Mm-hmm.
If that was a continual conversation within ourselves.
Yes.
I think Sherry was talking about that recently. You know, to just not stop it all day long. Wow, way to go. That was a good move. That, you know, and just next one, just keep it up.
Because then the perspective is different.
Yeah.
Then I'm seeing that, and then I'm seeing, you know, like that Mr. Rogers quote about looking for the helpers in the tragedy. So, you know, when there's, his mom said, when there's tragedy, is to look for the helpers, you know, to look for the people who are helping. And I, when people were talking, I thought, that's how, when I look deeply at myself and the good things that I do, it makes me more able to look more deeply at a bigger picture in a situation. Of whether it's the pain that went unrecognized, or the fear that people were describing, or the identifications that are stuck that I can relate to, or the people who come in and are giving hugs and inviting people to their houses, and, you know, that there's that perspective gets nurtured when I'm doing it with this person. I get more practice at that part.
Yeah.
But when I'm living like I've been, and I, you know, but when I'm stuck, when I'm identified, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that either. You know, it comes in and it's settled in, as far as I can tell. And so, but when that is what's being lived from, it's just a whole different, you know, the tension, the shaking, the pressure, the breath is different, the urgency to act, you know, all of that. And boy, ego can take it and do it in the name of God, you know, in the name of Jesus, so to speak. You know, that same perspective can quote scripture, so to speak, or good political thing, you know, whatever it is, or good parenting, you know, whatever it is, that stuff can still come in and take over.
Well, we know that over and over again, how ego just makes us think we're it.
Yeah.
And it will use any, I mean, how it takes the odd practice and it will turn it against us.
Yeah.
And how it will take anybody, what's dear to anybody, and turn it against them, and that can be used as the reason for the action. And as you say, you know, you see that in yourself, and to just, you know, keep turning the attention back to appreciation and look for the helpers. I mean,
yeah,
you know, yeah. What is it's back for the heart?
Yeah,
that you know, that person that just loves so deeply.
Yeah, and that's who can do it. You know, sometimes I forget. I think I have to do it, but that place inside is love, and that we can rest there, even if it's really uncomfortable. But it's such a softer, sweeter, healing place to rest.
There is rest there versus that. What you're describing, urgency, there's that push to do the change, act out.
And something always appears if I wait. An action does appear, but again, as was described, it's not from the same place. It's like, oh yeah. I could go to that grocery store, you know, but it really is a different. If I just soak myself in love. The tricky part is getting to the car, Sequoia. Getting to the car and getting my recorder. You know what I mean?
There's that, you mean the transition time, that interim point.
Like, it's so lovely sitting here with you guys.
Yeah, exactly. And then that takes a little bit. Yeah. Just how do we stay in that awareness moment by moment and not get taken off in those little, in the heart of those big transition point.
Yeah.
I guess we keep the recorder in our pocket all the time, and so that when you step out the door, you know, you just hit the record and
Thank you.